Welcome back to the Bitter Girls Podcast. We're a queer Survivor superfan podcast here today. Penultimate episode, Survivor 45, episode 12, the finale, mere days from now. I'm Sam Stanish. With me as always is my wonderful co-host, Christine Palin.
Hi, we are Derek-less today.
I know.
But we're going to... I'll do my best to like argue with Sam like enough for the two of us.
Yeah, because I feel like you and I argue a lot regardless. but you know, if you try to be Derek also, I'm fearful for my survival. We are joined today by a recently found icon of the reality TV space. Genuinely, the most fun person we've had on CBS in a very long time. A new member of the Fields family. It's Izzy Glacier.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you. I don't deserve any of it.
Of course you do.
Yeah, Izzy, I can speak. I'm not a Big Brother fan. I've tried. It is not for me. I do not. We all have our vices, and that's not one of mine. But I watch it on Twitter every season, and the most invested I have ever been in Big Brother were the weeks you were in the house. It was so. This is like, I was so excited when Derek's not here, when Sam, this is awkward, getting my gaze mixed up, when, I just miss Derek so much, when Sam told me you could come in the pod, so this is truly, that's high honor that I was that invested in Big Brother, I think.
I'm stoked. I mean, like, I'm a Survivor person, like, I'm a Survivor nerd, so, like, you know, the connection,
Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever heard, like, did you apply for a Survivor first and then they passed you?
So many times. So many times. I don't know. Yeah, I never got a call. I applied for Big Brother and like 2 weeks later I got a stupid call. So, and you don't say no. I mean, like, I love these games.
Yeah.
Like it started with Survivor and then like I just was like, wow, I just like, I'm obsessed kind of with this social experiment competition vibe. I'm a competitive person, but like maybe it was like clear that I wasn't like a comp beast. Like I don't run very fast. I'm pretty short. Like I'm a little thick, you know, we like it, but I'm slow, you know? So I'm about the social strategy. I think these games are about that. So like Big Brother is just another long, you know, inhumane social experiment. Anyway.
I think Dee was saying on Instagram this week that, yeah, she had a, I feel like most people's casting stories are like, I applied for years, I didn't hear back, I just kept applying, I sent in videos, reworked my videos, I got to the first round of casting, whatever. Dee put on Instagram that she sent in her video and then like 2 weeks later got the call to like start interviewing and then was on the season immediately after she started applying.
She's been one of my winner picks from the beginning, so I guess I'm not surprised that it was like an instant, we got to get her on the show, you know? I mean, it makes perfect sense. I think she was a great casting choice, you know. But
I think Christine might be frozen. I completely agree. I've been loving her, and I think back on my initial thoughts on her and like her pregame interviews, and I was like, who is this woman? Like, is she like ready for the game of Survivor? But then like she got out there and like instantly just has been like running the entire thing. I don't think I've ever been more incorrect about my pregame opinion of someone.
Listen, now can
you
I
were just so wrong.
Name? Like, especially as someone that maybe experienced like a very weird pregame. Like I didn't know because I was in sequester and then in the house, but like I apparently was a part of, you know, like people did not like me pregame based on my photo that I didn't get to choose. And and like from that, it's like also I remember doing my first DR, which was like kind of before I was even in the house. And it's like, of course everyone sounds like they don't know what they're doing. And of course, like you can't actually decide a pick because it's like all actually about chemistry and like actually playing the game. You know, like what's my strategy? I don't know. I have to meet all of the people first, right? What was my strategy? I don't know. Cerie Fields and her son will be in the house. I know. That's what I'm gonna do. You know, it's like you don't know. So I want to encourage the fans to like not care that much about pregame crap, actually. That's my
list. And I think that it's hard to, and I'm not very good at this, but like, I think that people need to be open to like recalibrating their opinion as the show goes on. Like people start a season and they pick their favorite and then you're not even really like thinking anymore, me, myself included, whether this person is like being fun or like that you're liking them still on the show. It's just like, that was my favorite last week, this is my favorite this week. And I think that people just need to be open to having new experiences as you watch a season of the show.
You feel that heavy with the Big Brother fandom, like heavy. Something wild. So,
have you been liking this season? What's your favorite season of Survivor? And then, are you enjoying this season?
Oh, I mean, I'm not. Maybe I'm going to be like the worst person on any podcast ever. Like, we did this in the Big Brother house. You know, Corey's a big Survivor fan, obviously, because of his, you know, first boot brother. Anyway, but we talked, they were obsessed with ranking everything, ranking players, ranking scenes. It's like, I don't know, it's not my jam, but of course, I have a soft spot for season 16. Let's be real, Micronesia changed my life in so many ways. You know, like
very real.
You know, we needed some butches on it, and then really society would have changed. But like, love 16, and I'm part of the crew that maybe thinks 45 is the best of the new era. I mean, I think this cast came to play. I think actually the like amount of goats that were cast on this season is kind of minimal, which is kind of cool. Like, we don't see a lot of like front runner leaders, you know, like usually it's pretty half and half. And I think like so many people based on the first couple episodes or like first half of the season could have taken it all the way, you know, and circumstance and challenges and like all of the luck that is embedded in the game, you know, comes into play. And so then shit happens, but I think this was like cast phenomenally. And I think people are showing up to play. So I love it. Yeah.
I agree. I think that this is one of the best. I mean, I probably at this point would say it's the best of the new era, and like extending far back past the new era. Like, I like am loving the season in a way that I haven't in a very long time. I mean, it has to be because of the 90 minutes. Like, we have to talk like that. We have to use that at least as an asterisk. Like, of course it's like better, but like they use the time so well. Like, Drag Race has gone from 60 minutes to 90 minutes, and like the 90 minute episodes are horrible. And so like, I feel that like Survivor has done such an amazing job using the time that they got, and the people, the cast who they receive 90 minutes for are so fun and great. Like, other casts getting 90 minutes would never be this good. And so it was just like a perfect confluence of events, and this season rules.
That's it. I mean, there's nothing more to say. No.
I feel like the criticism I am seeing about this season is people are upset like there is an alliance that like worked, because they feel like there's just like, we talked about, me, Sam, and Derek have been talking about it like in our group chat, like about, you know, people, you know, being like, oh, this isn't a good season because there's the three before are so boring, like, and it's just people are so attached to underdogs, like they, like, it's so, people just want an underdog to win every season, or like everyone to be a big like wacky character. But like, Survivor has always been about people working together, and cute cat, these cats just like sauntered into frame. But I do think any of the negative takes I have seen are just like, oh, Reba 4, and it's like, this, all your old school seasons that we love had this. Like, I don't understand why this is suddenly this bad thing.
I mean, but we're seeing the Reba 4 starting to eat themselves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm all for it. I wanted Julie to take out Austin. And of course, that was like totally an emotional, me and Paige like went head to head about that. And she was like, she'll lose D. And I was like, D is smarter than that. D needs Julie. Get rid of Austin. You know, Austin and D are too dangerous because Austin's hard eyes, you know, like, but I think they're eating themselves. I was thrilled to see Drew go. I think that was great. So I think Julie and Dee, who I perceive has actually been running the Reba 4. I mean, the fact that Austin was so clueless to the fact that Drew was going to be the one they were voting out and used his idol for himself, just to me in and of itself proves that those two boys in the Reba 4 were not the ones keeping the four together. It was Julie and Dee Julie and D have all the power in that four. So yeah, I mean, I'm all about that too.
I agree. I mean, like this was a very fun boot episode for Drew. Like all throughout, he's talking about how I've been running the game. Everything's gone perfectly the entire time for me up until last night. And he has that scene with Austin where he's like, the two of us are going to go down in history. One of the greatest duos ever. And then even up until the end, like
squashed idols and one of them being voted out. And
I know. And then Austin if they knew what was happening, Austin had the ability to stop it. But just like,
yeah, if they were, you know, if Drew was done self-congratulating, maybe he would be a little bit more aware of the tribe dynamic. yeah.
I think that Drew, I mean, I'm controversial in this, but I think that Drew's been a very fun presence on the show. I've really enjoyed what he's brought. And I actually thought that his final episode was really good. And I thought his final words were really sweet. I don't know if you guys watched the Exit Confessional.
Yes, I did. And I was, and now I can't, but I was going to end this and be like, thank you so much for this podcast. I really had a really ambiguous experience. One day in the future, I'll be able to grow, but it absolutely wasn't from this experience.
That's not what he said. He was like, I think I need time to process this. And I can't say that I like am immediately a new person, but perhaps with time, kind of thing.
Okay, Izzy, for context, the last episode, me and Derek really went in on Sam for loving Drew.
But I loved him because I knew he was not gonna win. Like I knew like there was no way this character could win the show. And so I was like, it's fun to just like give myself over to the experience of this like guy.
But I will say, I actually also liked his final words. I thought that was like, I liked that it was honest. Like I feel like it's funny. It made me laugh that he was like talking about it was ambiguous, but it's like, yeah, like I imagine like I've not played Survivor, but I imagine like when you're in that moment of like having just gotten voted out, your dreams have been crushed. You've gotten to do this amazing thing, but your dreams have been crushed. I liked that the response was, yeah, I don't know. This is going to change me, but I don't know how. you're shaking your head.
No. I mean, like, I love this because these games are subjective. Like, that's also why we love these things. You know, if I was on the beach with Drew, it would have been a struggle for me. It would have been a struggle from day one. And so it's like hard feeling now, like, because playing Big Brother and now feeling like I can call myself a player or something. It's hard to like step back and maybe just be a fan about it. Cause I'm like, in my heart of hearts, I'm like still training, you know, for the second chance for this, you know, for the thing. And like, so I think about like, how would I have worked with Drew, or how would I have gotten him out the first chance I could have, or, you know, all of these things. So I think I'm having trouble being maybe neutral about it in my opinions or something.
Yeah. And my opinion on him is strictly as a viewer. I'm like, I think actually he and I probably would get along. We're kind of the same demographic, but like, no comment on like our strategic ability to work together. Just like, I think that it's funny that he's in confessional all the time being like, I'm amazing.
No, you know, he added a lot to this season. All jokes aside, like our argument last week, Sam, I actually really, now that we've seen the conclusion of his story, I thought he was a really great president of the season. It's fun to have an antagonist who's just like super cocky and also like super nerdy and like it was just very, I didn't expect all of this from him, certainly at the start of the season, even when he's like talking up about like Drew and Basile and the frat boy. I didn't expect him to get to this level of like power going through his head. I'm controlling this game. We're Jervis and Tyson.
Gervais.
Gervais.
I just feel like with most people with this character type, the exit confessional is like, I was such a big threat, they had to take me out. And so it's nice to see it's like about his journey or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My cat also agrees that she's not a Drew stan.
She was like, yeah. Meow, yeah,
exactly.
Purr. I don't know if y'all saw his like exit press, or I also appreciated he was fully very, very upset and did not talk to any of the cast for months. like until the end of the summer. Like he took, like he said, he took like 2 months and like didn't talk to anyone, which I also appreciate that like he was in his feelings about it and wasn't, didn't talk to them until he was like, okay, I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, of course, maybe like to me, that's like, that's where you can figure out how to separate game from feelings. Cause it's like, well, of course, mother beeper, like there's only gonna be one person who wins this game. Like, of course, everyone is going to be in the mouth of the rest of the tribe at some point. And you can't be like not self-aware enough to realize that like your cockiness is out there. Everyone knows you feel comfortable. Everyone knows you think you're in charge. Everyone can see that you've been a dick to Julie after you're the one that like wanted to get her out. Like, how are you saying that you want to hurl and you're biting your tongue when she's talking to you? Like, you are all still playing Survivor together. Like, sorry about
and
that.
And she's mother.
And she's mother. I mean, yeah, yeah.
I love
Julie. To me, the respect is like she's Julie. Mama is like
completely agreed.
I hated that in the Big Brother. You know, it's like Suri.
She's not mother. No, she's not mama. She's mother in the gateway.
Yes. Oh, I mean, she's mother. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. We are on the same page.
Moms traditionally do terrible at final three tribal council. So I don't know why you're pushing that as the reason that Julie is so dangerous. Like in Survivor, I would love to sit next to a mother because they're not usually taken as seriously.
No.
Or, you
know, yeah. So. I think that's also sort of something that's come out on Exit Press where like Julie is known like on the beach to be this like big gamer, has final threes with a bunch of people and is a threat, but it's not like translated into the show for whatever reason. I love that Drew moment where he's talking about Julie and he's like, we're not friends right now. Like I'm like pissed that she's here. Like we're our alliance is broken, and it's like he's the one who broke it. So he's like why is she acting like we're friends? We're not friends. I can't even look at her right now.
Like, you might not be friends, but you still, y'all are still at six. Like, I don't know, like you still have to get to three, you know. So
but if he got through that tribal council, he would absolutely be sitting at the end of the game according to him.
I mean, thank God for Austin doing a stupid thing. Like no, I remember gasping and clutching my pearls when Austin stood up and was like, I'm going to play this amulet. I was like, no.
Yes. Because.
Great thing. Yeah.
Because Dee has been put in this exact same position Austin was in last round.
Yeah.
Where Austin told her about the plan to get rid of Julie. She told Julie to play the idol. So the same thing could have happened. And she was talking to Austin on the beach. He was like, who are you voting for? They cut away. Could have been any, who knows what she said. And then I was doing the same thing because I was like, I thought they were going to play a flashback to the conversation on the beach. And right. Dee was going to be like, everybody's voting for Drew. Or she would say like, yeah, we're voting together, Julie. We didn't see what she actually said, but obviously we can inference that she told him to vote Julie. But yeah, I was really worried when Austin stood up that he was going to play for Drew. And then as soon as he didn't, I was like, yes!
I'm curious to see if the finale episode starts with us, even if she didn't tell Austin. Because I'm still curious, like, if there was some finagling of, like, knowing and, like, you know, getting Drew out. Anyway, I think that's, like, wishful thinking. But I think we might, I hope that we get to see the rest of that conversation anyway to, like, continue on Dee's Oscar tour. So I would love to see that. But I think... Oh, I mean, Dee is the heart of the power on this tribe. Like, the fact that Julie didn't vote out Austin shows that Dee was the most important person to her. And the fact that Austin told Dee what was up means that Dee, like, Austin values Dee over anything else. And at this point in the game, having those two, like, having any two that solid with you, I know there's, like, hints that Katara is trying to get Julie to, target Dee right off the bat. We saw that in the, you know, the promo preview. For that preview. So I'm curious about how that conversation goes. My worry is that that's going to immediately turn around and Katara is going to be out, you know, or that that's going to be a major conversation that they're having. But I'm excited to see how it pans out for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been this like recurring thread of throughout the season, which I think we also talked about on in our chat. So I was thinking about it the other day, was just this recurring thread of like Dee doing things that like should have hurt her game, and then they don't. Like it started, like the one kind of like big misstep you could point at in her game early on was voting for Sifu, like when it was clear that was probably not going to happen, and then like the way that her alliance handled that by just like not speaking to Sifu. But then she got lucky because Jaymaya was like, I will like fall on the sword for you, Dee, for no apparent reason. And then, you know, last week telling Julie was a huge risk because Julie could have like, you know, she did cause a bit of chaos, and it made people wonder like who told Julie. Absolutely. And then Julie could have idled out Austin, but she didn't. And then, okay, afterwards that should have, like they should have been like, how did Julie figure this out? And then like it still didn't come back to bite her. And like apparently Austin isn't even that worried. And so it's just like she's strategically in the heart of things, but clearly her like just like she's one of those people that seems like naturally good at Survivor, where like she's just able to like remain cool and like speak to people in a way where they believe her without her needing to like do a lot of damage control. She's able to just like remain calm under pressure and like not need to strategize, okay, how am I gonna fix this? She just fixes it by existing.
Yeah. Well, I think she's very good at like, she's like created her web, you know, and she's got her trusted allies that she can be totally real with, and then she knows who they're connected with and how she's connected to those people. And I think that it just speaks to her social skills. I mean, in some ways she has played with no ego. Like I think in her relationship with Austin, I think she has maybe created a world where Austin thinks that he actually is making the decisions. And I think that she has made Julie feel the same way as well. So in some ways, although she has her number ones on either side, I think both of them only think that Dee is theirs in some ways. And I think that speaks to her social game and her lack of cockiness, but her just like real human like confidence deep down in who she is. And yeah, I think she's extremely charismatic. I think people want to be around her. I think people naturally trust her. And those are things that you can't like practice or necessarily or like learn before you get on the beach. I think I totally agree that she's maybe just like a natural at this. She has her own mist in some ways. You know, people talk about Cerise mist. Like Dee has that quality as well, I think. And it's really exciting to see in New Era, because I don't think we've seen it like that up until this point, really.
I agree. And I mean, I think that the Julie vote, like the Julie vote last episode and then this episode, like really like just fully underscores like everything that's being said. Like in last episode, we saw they were like, should we tell Dee? She'll probably just tell Julie like about the information, and like Julie might play the idol. And obviously that's exactly what happened. But then in this episode, Drew's conclusion is that like the rest of the tribe are just bad at acting, and Julie figured it out. Like they were like, it couldn't have been Dee. Like she's telling us that she didn't do it. Yeah. So like it's absolutely not her. And then in this episode, Keturah is like watching Austin and Dee's showmance like blossom. They're like holding hands on the helicopter. And yet Dee is able to convince Austin truthfully that she is going to work with her and like vote out Austin's closest ally. Like, and everyone believes her. Jake believes her. Julie believes her. Keturah believes her. And they all work together, even though this like blatant romantic relationship is like starting to form.
Listen, I think you got to cut off that duo. Like, I think it's been time to cut up that duo between Dee and Austin. But yeah, I think Dee is playing a great game. I don't know why people are, that she gets no heat on her, really. You know, I'd be curious to hear the tea behind the scenes about that, actually.
Christine, you can go.
I was just gonna say something that's like up in the air for me is like, I'm just so curious when the season's done and we can hear more from people, like what the perception of Austin is in the game. Because I just feel like he's such, and in terms of like how people view him as a threat or not, like where he is in the power, that's something that's just still like, is he being viewed as a Xander, like the kind of, because he's like a younger guy with like long hair, like he's like not like a threat to win? I don't know. That's just a puzzle piece for me. I'm really curious to like, because it just, is he just really great socially and no one wants to like throw his name out? But he's someone who, it just seems like the Dee and Austin duo should have been targeted earlier, both because Dee's the threat, but also because like Austin, you know, like, seems like the kind of guy people would be like, oh, he's a big threat to win challenges, we need to get him out. But there's just something that has, that's like, there's just a missing piece there. And I'm just curious to, like, hopefully hear more about the way he was viewed within the read before, because clearly Drew got all the heat for, like, being the puppet master, whereas he loved, no, Austin, that. He quite wanted, close. Yeah, he
wanted the, but I, yeah, yes. Not that I need to keep tracking Drew, but
no,
I thought,
go for it.
But I just thought it was interesting. Like, if you think about it, like, both times that there were, like, major lies that could change the course of the tribal that was coming up was Bruce's idiotic lie about giving Kelly his idol, and then, you know, and not sticking to, and Drew was like, Austin and Drew were like, oh my God, believed him immediately. And of course that was a lie. And now they don't believe that Dee is lying, which, like, of course she told Julie, you know, of course, but they didn't believe that. Like, they believed her, you know, they believed the lie. And she's like, wow, like, Drew, you are not a, it's not a social game for you, you know. Yeah,
and I think that we've been told that throughout. Like, I think that we've seen a lot of Drew's mistakes throughout the season, and, you know, I don't think that anyone watching the show would be like, he, like, if he, obviously if you're only listening to his confessionals, you're like, wow, he's the best Survivor player of all time. But if you're, like, watching the show and, like, taking it all in, you're like, you see what they're doing.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, Izzy, you played with some showmances, obvi. Would you ever have, like, even thought that they would work against each other? Like, is that even something that could cross your mind, that, like, suddenly Corey and America would, like, betray each other? Like, did you believe that kind of thing?
Well, I is this, like, a pointed question that's, like, directed at
not at them specifically, just, like, as someone who's played in one of these games with showmances. We don't get a lot of showmances on Survivor. It's like, is that a thing that even, like, people discuss strategically, where they're like, what if we got D to vote out Austin?
I mean, I'm a big proponent of, like, not everything being unanimous votes. Like, I'm very big on keeping people out of votes. I think that was, like, maybe clear how I was playing in the Big Brother house, that I, you know, I hated, I'm very proud that I'm one of only, like, three evictions that was not unanimous, you know, like, even though basically, but I think that it's not necessary. I think, like, of course you shouldn't think that a showmance is going to vote against each other. I think your instinct should be that they're not going to turn on each other. In, you know, in the season that I played, it was difficult because, like, Jared obviously had, like, a complicated situation where he, like, wanted to have, like, a best friend and a confidant in the house, you know, and so he turned to Blue. But Blue was very much, like, wanting to play her own game, and whatever that meant for Blue, I'm not sure she really knew what that meant. But I think, like, the two of them talked. I was a part of conversations where they talked about trying to target each other. But of course, in the end, that's never going to happen. America and Corey, in some ways, were playing a sort of layered, I don't know, like, a layered lying game with me in some senses, where Corey made it feel really safe to talk about when it would be time for him and us to cut America. And clearly that was my misread, because, like, of course that was just trying to suss me out and see if I was targeting America. And so I think that it is naive to think that they would actually physically vote against each other in a showmance. But I don't know, it's like, y'all can get each other's phone numbers after this season. Like, I don't know, like, do you want to win money? Do you want to win the game? Like, yeah, so that's my feeling about it.
Especially on Survivor, where this is day, like, 21. Like, this has been 3 weeks. It's really, it feels intense because they've been together 24/7, but in lifespan, it's like, who knows?
Well, it's true. I mean, it's hard. Something that I was so shocked by, and I saw that Dee wrote about this, and I immediately reached out and was like, oh my God, this is exactly how I felt also about, like, hitting the beach, walking into that house and being like, this is my entire existence now. I am going to be fully immersed. I'm going to buy in to everything. And I'm going to be fully present. And this is my whole world. And so that, I think it's, like, hard to describe how all consuming and, like, how much that breaks off, like, sort of shuts down your sense of larger perspective in some way, because it's, like, such a vulnerable, intimate, weird, awful Hunger Games situation, you know? So it's like that comfort is really, it's like the money in some ways becomes intangible, you know, because you're just like living there. So yeah, so I have a little, I have sympathy for that. I feel what that can feel like in some ways. But game comes first, you know, like game comes first. It's about finding that the intersection of humanity and strategy, you know, and I think D is existing in that intersection and in an incredible way, especially given the fact that now we're seeing her be a part of, you know, another level of something that is really human. And that is like having feelings for someone and having a little crush and like feeling really comfortable with another person in that way. And I think she's handling herself with poise and with like great, you know, she's the Steph Curry of this season, you know, like for sure. So let's go.
Yeah, it's really refreshing seeing Dee be a player who has these strong relationships, particularly with Julie and Austin. And these are genuine relationships. She's a great social player, and she's able to leverage these relationships strategically. But also, like, it's like I feel like there's this like, we can view it as a dichotomy of like being strategic and like having real relationships, like the game bot versus, you know, the overly super social player. But like Dee's proving you can do both. Like you can have like these genuine real relationships with people and, but make choices. Like she would not have saved Julie if it didn't make sense for her game. She did that because it made sense for her game, and she has a strong relationship with Julie and wants to leverage it. And here with Austin, like, she has a strong relationship with him, and she was still able to see, like, no, telling him is not the best for my game. And it wasn't just helping her game. She was hurting his by, like, taking away an option in Drew, making his idol play useless. Like, and, like, she's now limited his options to get to the end. And if he gets to the end, he's less of a story over her in terms of controlling the outcome of the season. She's proving you can be this well-rounded, strategic and social player with real relationships and be cutthroat, and it's not like detrimental to your game.
I mean, that's why she's so dominant, because that you hit on the exact thing, is that they are real relationships, you mm-hmm. know, like that is the key. People that think they can go into these games and not really be like, I honestly think Katara hurt herself by lying about being a lawyer. Like, I think something mm-hmm. that we have learned. So I feel very fortunate to have gotten to learn about Katara, which I think like we all have, you know, I mean, I think she is an incredible person, a strong person, like a beautiful person. She's amazing. I think in this game, I think she's had trouble connecting with people. And I'm convinced that if you are trying to keep lies about your life, you know, like something as simple as like where you go to work every day, I think there's a part of you that stops telling stories or stops talking about yourself to people in order to connect. And I feel, I see her like itching to want to make a move or like show that she has been present in this game. I worry that maybe it's a little too late given the power structure of the tribe. I, you know, in some ways I hope she wins immunity and something, you know, has a little bit of control in that way, but yeah.
Yeah. This whole season has been about balancing like your game self and your emotional self. People talk about it every single episode. And I do feel like, Izzy, you made a good point where like Dee like allowed herself to be fully present on the beach, like, and made these real human relationships while when she was like thinking strategically, kept them fully separate and like went robotic and was like, well, this is what I have to do to get ahead. And it feels like Katara, like obviously there's so many things that would prevent someone from being able to be fully present there, and it does feel like she maybe like held too much back and wasn't able to be like fully with these people, and like that perhaps prevented her from making the game moves that she needed to, just because she wasn't able to therefore make the amazing social connections that she would have liked to.
Totally.
But yeah, I agree. I love Katara, and like I really hope that my prediction, based on almost nothing, I guess, is Dee, Katara, and Drew final three. Like I think Julie and Austin.
Oh, Drew's gonna return to the game.
Oh, I meant Jake.
Okay,
Jake and Drew, you know, share a spot in my mind. No, I'm kidding. No, I think it'll be Katara like and Jake and Dee in the final three. And I think that'll be great. I think that they've been really fun parts of the show. I think we'll get the thing where like Jake's like, I'm a lawyer, and Katara's like, well, so am I.
I'm 45. Wait, no, wrong show. Wrong show.
They need a DJ on Survivor.
Do they? They have Seafood. I know he's not a DJ, but wasn't he kind of?
Wait, okay. Who do you want to see from your cast, other than you, obviously, play Survivor?
From Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
None of them? No, I don't know. Sari. Wow, it's like funny. I haven't even thought about it because so many people on my cast have never even watched a season of Survivor. And to me, that just automatically like means that they're not eligible. You know, like no one would like want to be on a basketball team and like never seen a basketball game before. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like that kills me. That was like Big Brother too. A lot of them hadn't really seen Big Brother. So, okay, let me come up with a more fun answer than that though. That's the, let's see, maybe Hysum. Let's get Hysum on the
team. Yeah, hell yeah.
He'd be great.
Yeah, I think, yeah, wow. Him hungry is not good. Yeah, he had trouble. First week he was a have not. And a hard time for the house.
I loved Hysum and hope to see him back on TV someday.
Yeah.
Wait, what was I going to say? Oh, okay. It's so funny that for a season where they were bringing in Sari, obviously they would have needed to cast a lot of people who had never seen Survivor, because it does feel like if people actually knew who she was, they would take her out immediately.
I guess so. I mean, Big Brother really is a different game. Like, I know, of course. I mean, yes. I mean, we've seen on my season how Sari is able to play in any way, right? She can play with a dominant alliance that has power, right? Then that can blow up and she can lay low and just like, well, whatever you need, you know? And then you can see her starting to try to build things from the rubble, you know? And so I think that she's like the most well-rounded player in a lot of ways. Of course, I don't take comps into account. If she was playing any of the reindeer games comps, I think she would win. So
100%.
I don't know, 6 days good comps, 100 days shit. So I don't know, let's think about that. But but I, yeah, I mean, I guess so. But it was, in some ways, it was a disappointment to feel like understanding the game, where I wish more people knew who she was. I don't know why I just was like about it, I guess.
And inverse on that question, one of our listeners at the Ty Jaeger asked who from 45 you would like to see on Big Brother.
Brandon.
Yes.
Great.
Brandon would be amazing on Big Brother. I also think Jake. I think Jake would be great in Big Brother also, you know. I mean, Dee, just because I think she's really good at this, you know. Yeah, I think Brandon would be my number one from 45 to get in the Big Brother house, for sure. I think he's like an incredible social player, actually. I hang out with him all the time. He's one of my closest friends from 45. And I just, yeah, I would love to play Big Brother with Brandon, you know? So, yeah, I think he would be great in the house.
I love him. I've now met him twice at the Crystal Lake watch parties in Brooklyn.
Oh, let's go, people.
And he is just the sweetest boy, and he's just the nicest, and I have endless good things to say about him and my conversations with him. So I think people would really love him on Big Brother feeds, and I think he'd be really sweet to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And cast him with a couple lesbians. He's running that house.
I'm telling you, Brandon is an honorary lesbian.
He is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. there you go.
Anyway, yeah.
And then actually a follow-up question, since we're like looking at questions, that same person, Ty Jaeger, asked, like, how much higher would your stress have been in Big Brother if you had known like there were hidden immunity idols in the house? I know your season of Big Brother had the twist where there was essentially one, but like you didn't know it was coming, you didn't know it existed. Yeah. Like, I'm curious if you had known that was it's just interesting that that was like an unknown you guys had in there and it was a surprise. But if you had known it existed, I think it would have caused a lot.
Yeah, I think
drama, I imagine.
I mean, in some ways, like, my cast, like, couldn't keep their mouth shut. Like, I don't think my stress would have been any higher because I think I would know where the idol was. Like, you know, Jag was invisible. HOH, he was not invisible.
Right.
Matt had the power, like, even without knowing it for sure, everyone knew Matt had the power. You know, like, everyone was like, Matt had the power. You know, so I don't know if my stress level would have been any higher, but it would have added something else to the house that maybe we could get up and play the game a little bit more during the week, during those immunity idol weeks, instead of you know, not playing the game. So yeah, that's how I feel about it. Get them in the house. I don't know. Do things. Get them up off the couch. Let's go. You know. Yeah.
Izzy, I don't really know how to ask this, I guess, but I'm really fascinated by just like I'm just going to say what I'm thinking.
And just say
that it's not like a very diplomatic way to say it, but it's like, I'm very interested by your experience because online in like the super fan community, you become this beloved figure as like this like chaotic personality on feeds. We're like laughing out loud at all the things you're saying. We love it. But then like you go and watch the episodes and they like aren't like, how does it feel to, I feel like you particularly are under edited in ways that we know categorically because we know you're like in the house as like one of the main characters. And then like, they don't even, how does that like, what is that experience like?
I probably won't talk too long about it because I actually might cry. Like, I'm actually feeling it a little bit.
Okay,
right,
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
No, I mean, I think people should know that the edit is hard, always. Like, I want the fans to be kind to people because of the edit. The thing that really got me was, like, not, you know, there's always, I guess Survivor doesn't exactly do it anymore, but you know, the like final torch walk and they would like light the thing and you would have these like kind of somber recaps about like every person that was on the season, you know? Big Brother has their own version of that, you know, and the final three have this like weird catered meal, and they talk about the season, and usually for the most part everyone gets like a little segment. I was not even in that, and that was really hard because Big Brother changed my life in so many ways. I loved it. I want to do it again. I want to play Survivor. I want to like, I went from being someone that like just like never thought after the second, third no on applying to Survivor. I was like, okay, clearly this is not, thousands of people apply to this. Why would it ever be me? You know, like, and then I get this call for Big Brother and being like, wow, this can be real. And then since my eviction, all I have thought about was how to get back in the house. Like just wanting it to now be a part of my life. I love it. Like I said this before, I'm a competitive person and I like people and I like being around people and this is my game, you know? And so to not feel like a valued member of this season, especially given how complicated and boring and like not strategic the season ended up being, you know, it was a real disappointment. And I knew, I mean, I'm in entertainment. I know how things work. I knew a little bit that like working with Ceri also meant that Ceri was going to get FaceTime for what we're doing, you know? But I want the world to know that like, and I'm sure she will say this too, we were a team, you know? Everything that she decided, I decided, except for using that power to save Jag. I did not know about that. I did not consent to that. That ruined the course of the rest of the game. No, but we did everything together. We did everything together. Every decision was made together. And to not feel, to feel like now people just continue to think of me being this fangirl puppy dog, that wasn't our relationship whatsoever. And that wasn't how I contributed to the game whatsoever. And so, yeah, it's actually like really, truly heartbreaking. It's like really heartbreaking to know that the archive of this thing that I think I did really good at, actually, you know, I don't think places necessarily have so much to do with how well you do in the game always, you know, because there's so much luck and chance and just like people are unpredictable, you know, by nature. I think I was doing a good job. So yeah, it's hard to not see that reflected, I guess is the best way to say it without continuing to go in a circle about my deepest, darkest sadness about it.
I'm sorry that I asked such a...
No. I guess in some ways I'm happy to like get to share that. So no, it's okay.
No, because it's real. This isn't a perspective I think people always get. Like, you know, because I feel like there's a lot of, at least like on Survivor, like people don't want to say they were unhappy with their edit. Like they want to seem ungrateful. Like some people are willing to be like, yeah, I'm not happy with how I portrayed. But like, it's very true that like you're having what was a very full personal experience that you remember every second of, and like you like felt all of it. And then even like yours is an extreme case of where you were completely like, you know, downplayed in the narrative, that even just little things, I'm sure can be like, oh, well, that wasn't how it went. I can see how it's very easy to like, that affects you. And then if it goes as far as like not giving you any credit, it's like,
that was a huge experience. Episode, I had the least amount of DRs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. So, and seemingly the power to save Jag and my eviction week and the zombie twist were the three things. And that those things, in some ways, even though I was out of the house, zombie twist, I was a part of that, right? Cameron got voted out immediately by Jag and my girl Suri, you know, like they took care of that for me. Twist fucking saved him. And then Jared's the next in the double, you know, like those are my people. Like I'm a part of that week, you know? And so feeling like so much of like me was a part of the three most important weeks of the season. And no one knows that, you know, I was important at all is hard. So it's okay.
Yeah. And then I feel that Keturah feels very similarly about like her edit where
it's all Bruce. It's all
up
Bruce.
Until Bruce gets a limb. I mean, and this is different because she's still like a big part of the show, but it's so one note.
Yeah.
Like it's all about Bruce and like how she doesn't like Bruce. Meanwhile, she like is posting like so much more was going on. Like, obviously I said all those things and like stand by what I said, but it's like I'm a three-dimensional human being that like had a lot of other things going on, not just about Bruce. And it's even clearer now that Bruce is gone. We like we're finding out so much more about her, we're hearing about from her about other stuff that's going on, and it's so exemplary of like what the edit is, where they can do whatever they want with whoever they want. D is a well-rounded super being sent from heaven to play Survivor. Keturah is exclusively talking about Bruce. She doesn't even know other people are on the beach.
I mean, yeah, they're making the edit is sort of like she's the goat you want to root for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in some ways that's the edit she's getting, you know, like you want to root for Keturah. I want her to be in the final three, right? That's like what my heart wants. But if you like break it down and given the information that we're shown in the edit, I don't know if her gameplay, you know, matches how much I want to root for her. And I think in some ways that does speak to the edit, you know? Yeah, so I feel for her. I feel for her, absolutely. I feel for all of us. Listen, this is hard. Give us a break, okay? Yeah.
I was just digging up another question I want to ask. I wanted to see who asked it. Okay. One of our listeners, if I edit this, I'll edit all this, me searching for it out. so I want to give the credit. Okay, yeah, Ian at the Fruity Fruit wants to know who your favorite queer woman to play Survivor is, to kind of move on from the edit talk to get to what really matters.
So funny, because I was like, oh my God, I got to give like shout outs to my studs, you know, my like archetype parallels, you know, like let's go Sabaya and Evie and Elaine and Jeannie and Lauren. Y'all remember Scout?
oh, we remember Scout.
Of course we remember Scout.
Scout, you know, I mean, like I love them. I mean, I'm good friends with Carla and Kelly, you know, I mean, I'm happy to see Keturah and, you know, like I think all of this is amazing. I'm always searching for a more diverse representation of queerness, you know? I think we see a lot, you know, like we love our Amys and our Parvs and, you know, but yeah, let's get some more butches on the beach, you know?
So yes.
You don't have to ask me twice.
My girl Elaine, I don't know, I have the softest spot for Elaine. And Lauren, did I say Lauren too? When she, yeah. Y'all, this was like life-changing for me also, even though I was like a grown, happy dyke at this point. But there's one challenge, and Lauren was the muscle on her tribe at this point. And it was like a thing where they had to get blocks like through you know, a maze, like push these heavy blocks like through a thing all the way down the beach. And she just like took it by both hands and was like, yeah, with her chest, and just like pushed this whole thing through. And I was like, wow, that's a real woman. Like, that's a real, that is a real woman. Like, I'm obsessed with her. Anyway, yeah.
My cousin has been going through cast, or like she's been trying to get cast. And you know, she is on the butch side of lesbianism. And I'm like, she's asking about like who she should be like, I play like these people, and I'm like, you are Elaine and Boston Rob put together, like, just, you need to say that. She didn't take my advice for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I'm like, they will love that. Like, I think that's what they're looking for,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Any other thoughts on this episode of Survivor? There's some idol hunting. Jake has one now. I guess I'll play it next round.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
I mean, can we give a little shout out to the theater kid in Jake? I mean, I know everyone's saying that, but like, I'm a theater kid also. You know, my partner is a lighting designer. You know, like, we are in the world. I played in every pit. You know what I mean? We're going to see Steve. Jake, I see you. I love that he's like playing Survivor in some ways, like it is a play, you know what I mean? Like, he's here for the drama. And I love it. I mean, stop trying to force this tie. Ain't nobody want the tie. Nobody want it. Nobody wants it. You know, like, give up the tie. But yeah, I thought Jake getting that idol, I love that for him. In some ways, he's playing his own game within the game, you know, because like everyone's already thinking about Drew Jake. You didn't come up with this, you know, like, you know. But I love that he's like kind of got his own idea of what's happening in the game, and he's like, I don't know, he's like playing a musical in his head, you know, like, and I'm like kind of here for it. Yeah,
no, like, I love that even when he found it, I was like, he got an idol, like, here we go. And he's like, okay, here's how we can maybe tie it. It's like, I love that he's like still like on that level. I understand he probably wants to save it for 5 to guarantee himself, you know, getting to 4. But it's so funny. I was like, oh shit, like, this is gonna really, like, we could have a null vote. Like, you know, he could play on someone else. And it's like,
yeah. Is that the only idol out right now? Is Jake have the only
now,
idol?
No, yeah.
Now that Austin played his, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, let's go, Jake.
You yeah. know he's still gonna be. He's gonna be like, okay. How can we tie it at 5?
Right. He knows he needs a move or whatever to like have a calling card about anything at Final Tribal, and so he's like desperately trying to be like, I made the rocks happen. Right,
exactly. Yeah.
Slay. Well, yeah. I can't think of other. I mean, I'm glad the Reba 4 has cracked. Everybody can stop crying that the Reba 4 were slaying. I thought Julie was really fun, like running up and like jumping on the rest of them after she was survived.
I love that. Like, I'm all about, like, I think one of the issues with Drew and Julie's conversation then the next morning was like, Drew, all Julie's looking for you is to be like, yes, you came after me, I came after you. Okay. Yes, we understand that. And Julie's point of being like, we can't be the only Rebas that, you know, like, I think she gave him like a decent pitch, actually, one that he has no interest in listening to because he's, you know, he's the mastermind. I think Julie, I love Julie running up on them and just like throwing it in their faces that, you know, why not? I mean, that's how everyone feels, you know, that's the way to do it, Drew. That's the way to like not pout, but pout, you know?
I feel like we completely like did not talk about the reward at all. Do we want to talk about the reward at all?
If you want.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say about like them being on reward, but I thought it was very funny when Austin is picking the people who's going on reward. Jeff's like, okay, you pick someone. He picks D. And then Jeff is like, okay, pick another person, but this time explain why. Right. And he's literally like, well, he's like, he gives the most overtly strategic answer of all time. It's like, just lie, obviously. Season,
why are people answering Jeff in public?
Right. Like, he's literally like, well, I can't have the people who are going to be at camp be the people who I don't trust. I need someone who I trust to stay at camp so that they won't scheme against me. And then, so like, when Keturah gets picked, she's thrilled, she goes on the reward, but like, obviously, Keturah must be thinking also, like, oh, I guess he doesn't think that I and close with him, and like things the other things Drew is a better alliance member than him. Obviously, I think obvious because they are the Reba Four, but it's like, why would you say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think missed opportunity, you know? I mean, absolutely a missed opportunity there. I mean, I think some of the most complicated decisions that players in Survivor have to make are those pesky reward decisions, you know? I think the people that didn't win, of course, have a really hard time accepting the strategy behind it sometimes, you know? And so I think it's a complicated choice. I think Austin ultimately made a good choice for him, but I think he put his foot in his mouth by like saying why he was doing this or something, you know, like even if he had just said something like, you know, we're getting to the end and I want to get a chance to know you, to know someone better. You know, I want to form a better relationship with this person. I'm picking Katora. Like that would have been great. That would have gone a long way between Katora and Austin, I think also, you know, and don't hold hands in the helicopter, you know, like make it try to seem like, you know, anyway.
I think the moral of the story is that when Jeff asks you a question, you are not under oath. You can lie. Right.
Yeah. That's Christine. Yeah.
Always lie to Jeff.
Always lie to Jeff.
He's lying to you. What was that water boy story? That's not true.
Anyway. And then like I finally like I all of the Austin and D stuff is working on me. I feel like I don't usually think of myself as like a Showman's fan, but them like when she's like giggling in confessional, the producer's asking her like she's smitten, that kind of thing, it was sweet. And then also her like needling him during the immunity challenge, like playful banter that way, was very fun for me too.
I mean, I loved that. I know I was talking about this with Paige also. I was like, why is it not working on me? Like, why am I not charmed by I don't know what it is, because like objectively they're getting a very sweet edit in terms of their relationship, you know, and I can see that, but for whatever, I don't know, it's not doing any, I'm not getting any feelings about it.
Maybe next That's episode fair.
Yeah. That's oh fair. Yeah,
maybe when she finally votes him out, you'll be like, this you'll is be a like, good relationship.
I'll yeah. be like, this oh, is great. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, absolutely, have fun. Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Yeah. Oh no, don't put that out there.
Slay. Okay, well then we're gonna do plugs and then talk about the edgic final edgic section of the season. Izzy, you have one of the greatest Twitter handles on planet Earth.
Thank you so much. I think CBS is a little nervous about it. Thank you.
Where can we direct our listeners to follow you online?
At Flute Dyke. Enough said. And my Instagram is my whole name. It's a terrible.
Your legal name.
My whole legal government. At Isabel Lepanto Gleicher. No spaces, no underscore. Everyone thinks my first name is spelled E-L-L-E. It's not. It was just, I'm not good online. Can you tell? I'm not good online. So that's, yeah, there you go.
Do they not allow your Twitter handle on Instagram, or does somebody else have it?
You want to hear the story about the handle?
Yes.
Okay, so... I was never a Twitter person. Like, I just didn't get it. I was like, I don't know. No one cares what I have to say right now in this moment. Now I get it because I'm watching Reindeer Games and I'm looking at people laughing at the commercial on Twitter. I'm like, fuck, I get it. Ha ha ha. This is brilliant. You know, so I get it. But I was never into Twitter. My partner Paige is obsessed with Twitter. She's very funny on Twitter, very good at writing things. Like, I can't even talk about it. And one night we were high as hell, of course, and she was like, I can't believe you don't have a Twitter, you would love it. And so I was just like, well, make me one, whatever. And she was like, well, let's just see what would be the handle. And she was like, oh my god, let's see if they have Flute Dyke. And no one had it, no numbers, no nothing. And she was like, well, we're making you this account anyway, so that you will forever be Flute Dyke. And so that's what happened. And then I'm on Big Brother and like everyone's on Twitter, and so now I'm on Twitter, like for real. Like, if you put something on Twitter and you tag me, I'll see it. That's how on Twitter I am. Anyway, yeah. Was that helpful? Was that good? Did you like that? Yeah.
I love the story. I think I feel like it was the onset of people falling for you. Like, when they were like, that's the handle?
I mean, good. Yes, yes, yes. Describes all things important to me. So.
Flute and Dyke. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the X Teen Files. You could read my writing on Inside Survivor. And I'll keep plugging it a few more times because it's still cool. It still exists. If you want to listen to the song cycle of Sappho Fragments, my fiance commissioned and I built a website for. It's online for free for the next 2 years. You can watch it. It's sapphoproject.com. Know the. Yeah, that was the coolest thing I was a part of this year. So I was like, I keep plugging it, but it's odd the year's not over. Why not keep doing it? So yeah, sapphoproject.com.
We love Sapphos and projects. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
You can follow me at Sam Stanish or at Moonselector everywhere. And my other podcast, Buffy Boyfriends, me and my boyfriend watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And oh my God, well, okay, Bitter Drawers now has a Patreon. We are recording the first Patreon episode later today. Nice. If you want to hear our countdown of the top 10 most unhinged Jeff Probst moments, get yourself over to patreon.com/bitterdrawerspod and become a subscriber. We have a Discord and who knows what, and we will sometimes we'll preview who the guests are going to be for people there. You know, we're working on what all the benefits are, but there's a lot going on.
All right. Shall we do Edgic?
Absolutely. Izzy, you told us you're new to the Edgic world.
Yes. Please help me dive in.
I would say that the themes of the season are pointing towards D winning. They are all about separation of mind and heart. We see constantly D is the only player shown to be capable of that in full. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that they really love. And that's like what the important like skill set in this season of Survivor is. And she is the one who's constantly being shown as the one who can do that.
I have nothing to add. I think that was poignant, eloquent. I totally agree. I mean, I want D to win, but also that might be because she is receiving a winner's edit, you know? So, and she's definitely not a villain. So we're getting that, like, you're falling for her kind of edit. Absolutely. You know, it's just nice to see also that when you see non-confessionals or non-edit, you know, when you see her working on the beach, it's aligning with what you're seeing in the confessionals and in the arc of her story. So let's go D. I think D's the pick.
Yeah, and in the mid-merge, Sam and I wavered on our D support because we were a little worried.
For like an episode.
But it was it was very funny. We both kind of switched to Emily right before Emily got voted out, which is really funny. I think what we were picking up on was that like Dee's win might just be so dominant. They needed to give her a couple episodes where she wasn't as present during some of the bigger votes of the season. So it wasn't so obvious for the entire merge. Like that, if she wins, that's kind of the explanation to me is that like she truly played that great of a game and they needed to like kind of put her in the background for a couple episodes. So that when we got to this end game, we could have this build and still, like, to the casual viewer, like, Jake is still a big character, Keturah's a big character, Julie, we're being told she could win. I think, you know, people who are, like, reading the edit and are super fans of Survivor are seeing that Dee is a real contender, but I feel like they've edited it in such a way that for the person who doesn't care about Edgic, who doesn't know it exists, who's just watching Survivor at home on their couch, doesn't go on Twitter, there's enough suspense to where it's not 100% like obviously going to be D because they have built up Jake and Keturah as characters, even if we can see it, their paths to winning aren't super great.
Yeah, I mean, they have season-long stories and like if they got to the end and they won, it's not like anybody would be like, who even is that? I think that maybe they are more in the vein of like Carolyn, who it's more about the like emotional story rather than who they like how they played the game.
Carolyn should have gotten jury votes. Let's just put it out there.
Oh, yes.
100%.
Yeah. Anyway, continue, Sam. Thank you.
The only thing that I was thinking about this morning, and I don't think that this will be damning for D, and I don't think that it'll be like this reason she didn't win or anything, but I was thinking a lot about her story today. And how focused on her family it is, and just like who she like, she's like, I my family's back home. I'm playing for them. Like they'll be so happy that like I'm winning the game. They're not even gonna care that I swore on their lives. Yeah. But it feels like that could be a thing where the she gets the final tribal council, and the jury's like, you talked about your family every single day, and they're so important to you. How do you balance swearing on their lives with
Do you know who's sitting on that jury? You think Kelly or Caleb or Kendra or Emily care about that? I mean, they don't care about that. I think we have the smartest jury we've had in a while too. You know, the most strategic jury we've had in a while. I think we're gonna get a satisfying winner. Like, I know the edit, but I think truly we are getting a satisfying winner because this jury knows what they're doing and all should have been in the final five, you know,
I don't think that they'll necessarily care about that specifically, but I think that they will probably be mad at Dee and looking for any flaw or like inconsistency to point out and perhaps use that as a reason to be like at tribal, be like, why did you do this?
Oh, I see. Bitter juror. I get it now. No.
I don't think that will hopefully be that important because it didn't seem like people got that mad about it.
And it won't be unanimous. People are like wanting Dee to be the first female winner. Drew's not going to vote for her to win. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
But right? Would you vote for Jake or Keturah over her? Like, I just don't know if
that's the final three.
I guess it could be. Yeah, well, I'm. So I shouldn't be discounting Julie and Austin like that. It's very possible that they get to the final tribal also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think Drew is going to be pouty unless he gets to vote for Austin. I think he's going to be pouty about it on the jury. He'll be the bitter juror. You know, like he's going to be the one that's the bitter juror. No one else.
I think all jurors are bitter to different degrees. I think everybody's mad that they didn't win, and that's why the show's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's like another level of like separating game and feeling because
mm-hmm.
you know, like, yeah, you're fucking pissed, you know, especially if you're doing a good job, especially if you're blindsided, but like, as someone that has been voted out in a kind of like intense flipping blindside-ish kind of way, it's like, if getting you out then set people up to go to the end, how are you actually going to be mad if you understand the game, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think our jury is going to be like that. That's my hope. Smart jury. Smarter juror podcast now.
Game focus.
Game focused juror podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
My takeaway,
not quite as catchy.
Or like the important thing for me going into the finale is that I love all these people. I'll be happy mm-hmm. with any of the final five winning. Totally. I do hope it's Dee, but like if it is even the person I want to win the least at this point, like I'm gonna love it. So I think it'll be heartbreaking to see these people get voted out. But I think it's going to be a really fun finale, and I'm excited to see who wins.
Absolutely. Me too. Yeah.
No, like, they've set up, again, circling back to the edit, they've set up Dee in a way that if she wins, it will be a very, very, very exciting ending, and I think satisfying. There will be some people who aren't satisfying because they have decided Dee sucks. But I think they have done enough in the edit to show that this will be a satisfying ending, but they've also done enough to set up these other players to where, like, even if the person we would all agree who's playing the best strategic game out there doesn't win, we still love it, the satisfying like narrative conclusion if you know, one of these other people happens to win. So I also feel the same. I really feel like it's Dee and I will be super happy. But yeah, I mean, speak on it.
I would not be satisfied if Austin won this season.
It would be weird. I think we would agree that would be weird.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like Austin.
The other four, I think, not Austin. A sweet guy.
No.
You know,
I don't,
like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Really physical, but like, you don't get it. I don't think he gets it, you know?
No, I like him, but it would be very, that would be very out of the blue. He has no story other than having idols and being with Dee. They just have not invested anything in him.
And not then having two idols and then not setting up the clearest path to four and ever. So he's like a James, you know, he's like a spread out James, you know?
You know? Sure. Yeah, like I mean separating satisfaction from likability, whatever. We're all separating everything and whatever. But like I obviously think that the only satisfying finish to the season at this point is for Dee to win. But I will love and support the people who do win, regardless of who it is in the final five.
Of course. Yes, of course.
Of course.
Okay, I mean, people love love everyone, you know.
Usually we're not this I feel like there's usually a lot more tension for me going in the finale where I'm like, literally, if this person wins, I will die. Yeah. So yeah. I think I'm just very relaxed at this point, which I love the feeling of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we needed that this year, CBS, you know. We needed
Izzy, thank you so much for being here. This was amazing.
Thank you. I had a good time.
Christine, again, see you later tonight when we record our Patreon podcast.
We're doing something very fun for the first one. I think if you aren't subscribed to our Patreon already, this might be enough to get you on board, I think.
Izzy's got her phone out. Okay, great. Okay, bye everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.